G'day everyone, and welcome again to another DUC Migrating to Australia podcast. My name's Wes Zant, and this week I'm actually joined by Jess and Alex McKean. And Jess and Alex migrated with their children to Melbourne in 2022 and now live in one of the best places in the world, the Mornington Peninsula. We're actually neighbours. And on this episode, we're going to discuss their journey. They're currently on a 482 visa and transferring to a 186 visa. We're also going to discuss with Alex what work is like as a chef in Australia. So, Jess and Alex, welcome.
Hi, welcome.
Welcome.
So, Jess, we've got the you've got a very strong Welsh accent. And Alex, whereabouts are you from?
Yeah, from the valleys.
From the valleys, there we go. Alex, where are you from, mate?
Birmingham, so Midlands.
Yeah. So you got that, the Birmingham, is that a Brummy accent? Is that what it's called?
Yes.
I wouldn't say I have a Brummy accent.
We've done so many expos in Birmingham for years and years and years and years. I reckon for 10 years I was in Birmingham 2-3 times a year, meeting all new clients. Such a popular place. I think it's kind of like, I guess, in the middle of the UK maybe, or it's an easy place for lots of other people to come to. So guys, look, firstly, thanks heaps for taking the time to make this podcast happen. I mentioned at the start of the podcast, we're actually neighbors now. I'm actually coaching kid in football as well, who's a little legend, by the way. So let's start from the start. All right, guys. So Alex, you were the main applicant. What do you do for work, mate?
So I'm a chef by trade. Working kitchen. So I was in the UK freelancing a lot, so going between big events, so like you've got Cheltenham Gold Cup, Ascot, working in restaurants, and then some of the big sporting events, so a lot of the soccer clubs in the UK.
Excellent. Now, you did the chef skills assessment. So initially you were looking to apply for a permanent skilled visa, is that correct?
Yes.
Yep. So you're looking to come over on the permanent skilled, and then you, I believe you got a job through the Down Under Centre. So you started, just run through that process, if you don't mind, mate, and just, looking at the job at the Down Under Centre, applying through it, what happened, mate? How did you get an interview and all that sort of stuff? And what was the interview like? What happened in the interview with your employer?
Well, when we saw the job come up, we were sort of discussing what easier routes were. And I think we just all wanted to come out to Australia as quick as possible. And I think at the time, which was post-COVID, the 482s were being processed a lot quicker. So we decided that this job opportunity was too good to turn down. And we got in touch with them. The interviews were starting, and it was sort of over Christmas. It was a bit of a long wait between interviews and job acceptance and the visa process of that side. So... yeah, it was. It was too good to turn down, and it made the choice easier for us more than anything, rather than wait a few months and it was the best decision for our family. I think we just wanted to leave and make the most of it, and the original plan was to come out for just the 4 years and see how it goes, have the opportunity of a lifetime. And I think within 1 month of moving over here, we decided we wanted to start the 186 process. So we knew we had to wait 2 years, which was fine. And that's where we are now, is waiting for the 186 to be processed.
So Jess, let's talk about who's in the family, because you haven't got a small family, you've got the four children. So let's just run through the ages of the kids, please.
Yep, I've got Poppy, who is 11. We have Vinny, who is 8. And then we've got 6-year-old twins, Freddie and Felix. So we went for the ultimate third and got one for free.
That's all right. Double up, mate. They're good kids. That's the main thing. So it's quite risky, because obviously the benefits of arriving on an independent skilled visa with a family of four, arriving I guess having the same rights as an Aussie, just having a bit of a funny accent, which definitely you've ticked that box in my version. I love the Welsh, the accents. We'll come to a few of the things, a few of the questions you've had from my fellow Aussies, I guess, regarding your accent later. So, but for now, so it was, you know, I guess that security and everything. So what were the restrictions when you arrived on a 482 with four young children?
So we don't get any subsidies. We don't get any childcare subsidy. We don't get any financial support. So if we want to put the kids into their care, which is the after-school program or holiday program, we pay a substantial amount of money. We pay like the full whack. So for us, we don't use that option. We don't unless we have to. But we're very lucky with our jobs that we can work around the kids, so it's not a massive issue for us personally. I think it's more of an issue for the kids where like their friends go to these holiday programs and I can't let them go. But when we were doing our research for the 482 and with Alex being a chef, the pathway was very clear that it would be a sort of straight process of jumping from a 482 to a 186. We knew this was a short-term problem for the long-term goal. So it wasn't a massive impact on us. Other implications we have is with the Medicare, we do have full Medicare rights, but I don't think we have the full amount as somebody with PR would have. So we have different coloured Medicare cards. We have to have medical insurance to cover any out-of-pocket costs as well. But that's the only major thing that's impacted our life is the childcare subsidies we don't get.
So just for the listeners, these guys arrived in Victoria as well. So each state's a little bit different on a 482. In the state of Victoria, that's where these guys are from. So this is their journey. And also, I guess it's sort of been like, where did you first arrive in Victoria? Whereabouts?
We went up to Chelsea Heights, which is sort of like what they call the Mordialloc Triangle. So we're about 40 minutes from the CBD, 40 minutes from the Mornington Peninsula. Alex worked in a manufacturing setting up there, which is why we chose that area to start with. And then, which was lovely. Again, you know, we've never been to a bad area in Victoria. We absolutely love it here. It's when another job came up, we decided to move down. So we had to transfer our 482 visa to a different company. Again, something which was very, very straightforward, and why we moved down towards the Mornington Peninsula more than anything. So we've been here for about 2 months now. And again, same situation with the school. So on our 482 visa, especially in Victoria, we don't pay school fees, which was another reason why we wanted to come to Melbourne, is that the schools are free for anybody on temporary visas. If we enter other states, they do have certain school fees. So for us, we weren't impacted by that. It's just the childcare subsidies that we don't get.
Just, Jess, I'm going to go back to Alex for a bit. So, Alex, move a bit closer to the mic if you can, mate. We'll get you loud and clear. Mate, you arrive. You've got plenty of experience. You know, you've got a good background. When you had the interview with the employer, did that interview go, mate? Was it was it conducted over Skype, Zoom? How did it work, mate?
We did it over Zoom. We were quite lucky that they were quite willing to do it. It worked out about 9 o'clock in the morning when we were in the UK, which worked out about 8 o'clock at night for their time. So we were very lucky that they were quite accommodating for us. When we looked at some of the other jobs, they were a little less understanding of the time difference. It was either their time or nobody. So that's kind of where we got a very good impression on the job up in there, up towards Chelsea, just because they were willing to work with us and kind of help us through that transition as well.
So Alex, as a migrant moving and, you know, making this decision, bringing four young children and a wife over, what questions were you asking? Like what was important for you to find out from the employer?
So big one for us is obviously catering in the UK doesn't always offer a good work-life balance. So that was the idea of moving over here, was to try and get that better work-life balance. Were there any kind of getting their expectations and what they were after? But the big one for us was for me getting more time with the family in the UK.
Did you?
I'd say that suffered quite a bit. There would be, especially during the summer months, I'd probably mainly see them once or twice every 2 or 3 weeks, just because of how busy it was for me, where moving over here, there's a lot more options in place that you do your 8 hours, and then it's kind of you can come home, and I was getting a chance to see the family more.
That's good. So you definitely got to do that, which is good. Now, all right, so you have the interview with them, you discuss money, like financially, were you better off working in Australia, or were you making more money in the UK?
No, much better off moving over to Australia financially. The wages, when we actually looked at the conversion rate, I was getting a lot more. We were getting paid a lot more over here. I think the difference is Australia looks at chefing as a skilled trade, where I think in the UK it's not always seen as that skilled, and they don't really put a good enough value on it for the hours and the sacrifice that you would make.
All right. So you rock up, mate, run through your first day. It must be a little bit daunting. Do you remember the time from when you got off the plane to the first, you know, to the first time you started working?
So I think we landed on what was at that point the Queen's birthday. So we'd arrived on the public holiday. I think it was Saturday at 5 o'clock in the morning. So we'd just done 25 hours on a plane straight. I think I'd had about 2 hours sleep. Jess had maybe 4 or 5. Kind of a little bit daunting when you walk out the airport to think, okay, where do we go from here? We were quite lucky that we'd had a house set up. So we kind of jumped into a taxi, got to the house, saw everything set up. And then I think the first week, they were very understanding at the job. They gave us a week to kind of settle down and everything. They were quite patient, knowing that the visa was kind of coming through. We kind of just wanted to start the job quite quickly. So we had about a week where we settled down, got all the furniture.
Jet lag over and done with.
Yeah, got the jet lag over and done with, sorted a car out. Kind of got the basics of getting a bit of bearings of where we were. I was quite lucky that I could walk to work. So it was about a 15, 20 minute walk for me. So it just meant that, you know, we just needed the one car for Jess to be able to get out and about and do like the basic food shopping. And explore the area, and I could just walk to and from work to the house.
Yeah, awesome. So you rock up to work, mate. You're obviously a bit nervous. How was the reaction? Was it like, because did the company sponsor before, or you were the first person? Were they used to this?
No, the company had sponsored before, so they kind of got the process. I think within that first week, I'd kind of was in contact with the general manager at that point, and just said, look, we've landed. Can I pop in, just say, let's say hi face to face? Because all our communication before had just been done either over WhatsApp messages or Zoom.
Yep.
So I kind of walked into work on, I think it would have been like the Thursday. We just kind of then had a bit of a chat and kind of had a bit of a laugh. But I think the Australians are very, there's a very nice relaxed culture here. So they were quite relaxed about it and just said, look, it was kind of like, what's the start time? They kind of introduced to who I'm working with, where I was working. So I kind of had a bit of a basic idea of what I was doing when I walked in on the first day, which helped.
Yeah.
It was kind of a very relaxed, but takes all that nerve and pressure considering you just moved to the other side of the world away.
Yeah, exactly. Now, so you mentioned earlier, or Jess mentioned earlier, then you transitioned to another employer What? How was that like? Explaining to your, you know, your first employer who offered you the sponsorship, was it difficult? Were they accepting? How did that conversation go, mate?
They were quite accepting, to be fair. They understood what their concern was. Obviously, they understood that we were looking for something else, and their concern was, look, is all the paperwork filled out, and was anything gonna come back to them regarding the visa? Because obviously on a 482 visa, if you break the conditions, your employer that sponsored you is liable for all the deportation costs. Yeah. So they were just trying to just tie up their loose ends and just make sure everything was a clean slate. But overall, swapping over was quite a very simple process. We kind of went through the visa agents and just said, look, this is what we want to do. And the new job were very understanding, as well as the old job, in fairness. It was just, here's the paperwork to prove that we've swapped jobs. And just kind of went from there. And then there was a lot of email confirmation between the two parties, between the visa agents and the old employer. And then the swap happened, really. It was quite a simple process. But they understood the reasons why I wanted to leave and wished us all the best.
Yeah, that's awesome, mate. And I really appreciate that honest, it is hard. Like, I couldn't imagine, we all do it, and lots of the listeners are going to be doing it as well, if it's sponsored or not sponsored, that first day of work and how you get settled. But you guys, it sounds like you did it in a little bit of style. I wouldn't say you had a car. I'd probably assume you got a bus with the Sixers as your first vehicle. All right, so back, so over to you again, Jess. So initially, when you first started the process, how did it come about moving to Oz?
We were looking at it about 7-8 years ago. We just wanted a better life, a new start. And at that time, we weren't sort of in a financial position to do that. And then when we found out we were having twins, it was like, yeah, it's definitely not happening now. So we put it on the back burner, and then a life event happened and we were able to be more financially secured. And we decided, like, we could have bought a house outright in the UK, but still be like financially worse off. I said, well, let's just do this other option and go to Australia. We'll go for a couple of years, see if we enjoy it, and give the kids the better opportunities of life, basically, like so many other families decide why they come out to Australia is for the kids. And that's how we started. And then we literally moved out 2 weeks after our visa was granted. So we packed up and gone within 2 weeks. We basically said goodbye over Zoom call.
How did they take
our family? We were just...
Because you're quite tight with, I guess, your family. I know that your kids fly back, which is, we'll talk about, yours is really interesting. I like this podcast because you've actually, I know Poppy went back all by herself to spend
Poppy's
time with the grandparents.
Poppy's flying back on May the 1st.
Again.
So she's flying as an unaccompanied minor to back to the UK. And she's going there for a month to be with my mum, yeah.
What does that mean, accompanied minor? So you say goodbye to her at the airport? And she goes from Melbourne Airport and she arrives. Where does she arrive?
So she'll fly from Melbourne to Perth. She stops over in Perth for 2 hours and then direct then to Heathrow. So I drop her off at the security gates, wave goodbye, and my mother will pick her up in Heathrow Airport the following day.
So who, I mean, she's 11, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So when you say assisted, so the plane, do you pay more for it, or when you just book the ticket?
I had to pay about an extra $1,000 for the unaccompanied minor stuff. So basically somebody's going to be with her for the 4 hours in the airport. Someone's going to look after her on the plane. And then on the other side, someone will get her off the plane, take her to her luggage, and then put her in my mother's arms, basically. So she's not on her own.
Yeah. Wow. That's cool. Because this is the second time she's doing it, correct?
No, first.
First. Okay. Well, that's good. All right. So be a good experience. Love to, we'll come back on that one actually, because as a mum, obviously you're fine with it because it's happening.
Yep.
Poppy, how's she? Is she nervous? And she's a clever kid. She's bright. I don't think she's that shy either. So she's
No, she's excited. Because my mum will never come out. And you know, with four children and the six of us in the family, it's not feasible for us to keep going back. So Poppy is old enough to fly on her own. And with the direct flights these days, it's so much easier. So it's worked out quite well that, you know, she gets to go home, see the grandparents, and then have like a month's holiday and then come back. And then next year we'll do the same with Vinny then when he's a little bit older.
Well, obviously not in football season, Jess. We'll make sure that's...
Not during football season. No. God forbid that happens.
He is a required player. All right. So you were... So initially... Yeah, you know, life event happened. You found yourself in a financial position where you're looking to apply for an independent skilled visa. A decision came, a job appeared. You decided to apply for it. Alex applied for the job. You've got a smaller window of time to sort of explain to the grandparents and other family that you're moving a lot quicker. I mean, that's a big deal in itself. We always talk about the emotional side of migration. How did they react to that? Oh, hey, guys, instead of a year and a bit, it's actually going to be in the next couple of months. How did they deal with it?
They were pretty okay. I think because we didn't have that long-winded goodbye, they had to get over the shock very quickly. So it was they were very accepting. I think because we had spoken about it previously, it wasn't a massive shock to anybody. We literally did a Zoom call to the entire family and said, oh, hey, we're leaving for Australia now. And they're like, when? And we're like, well, next week. Because we made sure we booked the flights because we didn't want, you know, the talking out of it, the emotional upset or, please don't go. And, you know, because we wanted to make this decision for us.
Sorry to interrupt you. You mentioned you didn't want that. Did you get that?
No,
well done.
We didn't, no, thankfully. So, you know, and like with the grandparents, they see us on Facebook. They see what an amazing life we've got over here. So they know we've made the right decision now. It's, you know, they've had the chance to see it. And we've had my nan, she's come over and, you know, thinks it's amazing here. It's hitting us sort of now during the second year that, you think, oh wow, I'm not with my family, and I think this Christmas was hardest, more than anything, because it's the second. It was like I think the second year is always the hardest in the first year, because the first year you're everything's new, you're going to new places, it's all exciting. The second year you realise, wow, I'm actually living here. I'm not with my friends and family, but you know. There's no thought of going back at all. It's just, it's still very exciting. I think the sort of homesickness has kicked in a little bit, which is why we're sending Poppy back now. So she gets to go and see the nan. But for us, we don't want to go back.
What about wobbles, Jess and Alex? Surely, look, everyone has wobbles, you know. Has there been times where maybe you haven't, but has there been times where you're like, oh, we made the right choices? You know,
no, never.
Really good with family. No, it hasn't happened.
Yeah, no, not at all. Like I speak to my mum more than I ever did in the UK. I speak to her on FaceTime every day. I think, you know, emigrating is so much easier now, thanks to modern technology. So she's still part of our lives, but you know, we never lived near my mum in the UK, so it wasn't a massive shock when we lost that social network. It's hard for us, obviously, with four kids. You can never find a babysitter because the minute you tell them you've got six-year-old twins, they're like, no, you're okay. That side of things is slightly difficult. But no wobbles. You know, we drive up and down the Nepean Highway and just think, like, wow, we live here. You know, when you're seeing the ocean views and everything that Australia's got to offer, you're just thinking, wow, I actually live here. So
I do exactly the same.
It's worth it.
Like when I'm doing the school run with the boys, we're up and down that, you know, as one road, you got the beach on, you're just literally looking at the ocean. all the way to school for like 20-minute drive. And it's just awesome, isn't it? It's just, and on a sunny day when the surf, well, it's a bay, so there's no surf, but you know, when there's no wind and all that, and it's nice and flat, and there's always heaps of boats out and everything like that. It's just, yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous. It gives you that, I guess it makes you excited. Like, and I know for a fact that you guys spend a lot of time when you first arrived going to beaches, and a lot of time at the beach and doing those activities. Just run through a few of the activities that you guys do now as a family that you'd never had the opportunity to do, or just wasn't available when you were living in the UK.
Yeah, we do paddle boarding. The kids have done kayaking, snorkeling, surfing. We go to the back beaches where the kids are learning how to surf.
You sailing lessons at school.
Poppy just finished her sailing lessons for PE in school.
Sailing lessons.
Sailing lessons, yeah. She did a term of sailing lessons for PE.
Wow.
She went on a surf camp for her grade 6 camp. They went surfing. You know, the sports as well. You know, Vinny plays AFL football, which he's doing very well with. And, you know, he does so much more sports than he would have done in the UK. Same with Poppy. Like, Poppy's a massive golfer. So she's loving life over here at the moment with a golf course on every corner. She's part of the Victorian Scholarship Program now. So for her, for all the kids, we've made the right decisions for them.
Yeah, well, I think her old man's quite a good golfer, Alex. Let's just go back to your golfing side, mate. You're probably a bit modest and all that, but I'm sure lots of our listeners like to have a hit of golf. Don't be shy about this, mate. What's your what's been your best handicap, mate?
So back when I was playing regularly, I got to a +4 handicap. So I was giving the golf course shots instead of the golf course giving me shots. But yeah, like Jess said, I think Victoria's got, or especially Melbourne down on the peninsula, there's more golf courses around here than anything. So it's been fantastic for me. And it's kind of been a good social aspect for me. It's a chance to get out, meet new people. There's just so many different options. And I've been able to make a few friends through golf as well. And then just a chance to play at other golf courses as well. So it's kind of been a good kind of a way for me to meet people as well since we've been here.
The golf courses here in the UK, are they similar? Is it some courses much better, worse? What's it like?
I'd say golf courses in Australia, golf is more accepted over here. I think in the UK, there's some places that are still classed as elitist, where over here, there's a lot of them that are very affordable and welcoming of the younger members coming in. So where we live now, we've got the Dunes Golf Club that's just at the back of us, which is where Poppy's got the scholarship. And just all the members are just, they love that Poppy's playing golf, A, because she's a young girl, and B, it's another junior that's joining the club to hopefully stay with them for a long time. But they're a lot better over in Australia. The views are stunning. But there's so many different styled golf courses in such a short space, in such a small area. You can play a Lynx golf course probably down the road, but then you can play a Parkland golf course. And there's a lot of municipal golf courses which are not everyone has the chance to join up as a member, but they're in as good a condition as a private members club.
Yeah, they are absolutely everywhere where we are on the peninsula. Like, they're just everywhere. It's crazy. But I'm so happy Poppy got to, she's, again, it's just such a good experience to play golf. And what a good time for you and your daughter to be able to hang out and, play some golf. So what about, as a chef in Oz now, is you mentioned work-life balance, and that was one of your targets when you got the current, the first job when you arrived. The job you're doing now, what are the hours like, mate? Are you still finding you've got the work-life balance?
So I reckon I've got more of a work-life balance in the new job than I did previously. So I'm very lucky that a lot of the senior management at the new job have young families as well. And for them, that's a big priority. So there's days that if I'm doing a later shift, I can drop the kids off at school and then just drive down the road 20 minutes and be in work. And then Jess can then pick them up, or they're quite good. I asked my head chef if I could get the time off to drop the older two off when they did their first day at school, and it was no option. And then the twins were a couple of days later, and I'd gone into work, and he just walked up to me and he went, you'll be leaving at 2:30 today. And I'm like, why is that? And he's like, well, you've got two other kids to pick up, and I'll be more upset if you're still here and miss that opportunity. So
what a legend.
I get more of an opportunity now to do, even if it's school pickups, school drop-offs, go around to the football. I'm also lucky that Vinny plays football just around the corner from work. So they've said on a Sunday that I can kind of watch him play footy for the first half and then jump into work straight afterwards. So there's very much, they are very family priority. They've already talked about Poppy coming down to play on the golf course. Obviously, I'm a sous chef at Sorrento Golf Club. So they're kind of, one of the perks of being there is a chance to be able to play on the golf course. But our GM is very keen to get Poppy down there to play on the golf course. It's very much give and take. During the summer months, I won't get as much time off. That's our busy period. But during the winter months, when it's quieter, that's when they offer you the chance to take a bit more time off and kind of get that work-life balance back. So it's very much a give and take there. During the summer, I'd say Jess is a little bit more on her own, but then she's got the opportunities to do the beach and everything. But then during the winter, I'm getting the chance to be more home with the kids and the family, to be honest.
Mate, it sounds like you're doing pretty well, Alex. You're definitely living your best life, mate. You got you work, you're playing lots of golf, you work, you're being a chef in a country that treats it as a professional career. It's a wonderful place, establishment you work at, the Sorrento Golf Club as well. Jess, over to you. I know for a fact that I too, being an Aussie, am very fascinated with the Welsh accent. I'm sure there's been a few times where people have questioned. They brought up Gavin and Stacey and done all, because being us Aussies, I think that's what we think of when we think of people from Wales is Gavin and Stacey. Am I right? Have you had it before, or I'm being misled?
Yes, I've been asked many times, am I related to Nessa? which I respond to, yes. She's my cousin. And the other one is do I live near Pontypandy, and do I know Fireman Sam?
Oh, of course, Fireman
Sam's massive. Yes, I did live near Pontypandy.
Yeah, Fireman Sam, I grew up on Fireman Sam, and I think he's still kicking around. Like my daughter, and I don't know, when we put the tally on, he's still kicking around.
Yeah, it's not the same, but he's still hanging about.
That's unbelievable. All right, so look, I think as a whole, guys, this whole move to Australia has been something that's it's gone reasonably smooth, which is fantastic. Anything you guys would like to add, any advice you'd like to give to people that are thinking about making the move, anything at all, guys?
Just, you won't regret it. That's for sure. You come out and, like we said, there's no point planning either because things change so much. So we managed to do it in 2 weeks turnaround. So anything is possible. And if you want it so badly, you'll do it. And it is worth it on the other end, no matter what state you end up in.
Jess, I'm just going to we won't close it off. Just a couple more questions, all right? Because I feel that when you've got twin boys that are six and everything like that, so that means that they started school for the first time. So this will be their first, they'll be finishing their first semester or their first term, I guess, of school.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, they started prep January.
And how did they go? Was it because there was no transition from kindergarten to a new school? How was the school How did they go about sort of helping the boys, you know, interact with new people?
They've been brilliant. I think the only request they wanted was to have them in different coloured tops, because my boys are very identical. Twins. Yes. So luckily the school has two different colours of red and blue. So one will always wear red and the other one will wear blue. It's just unfortunate now they've picked this up and they do swap their tops at playtime.
Legends.
So, we do get the odd call of asking, can you come and tell us which one's which?
Yeah, that's so good. They're so clever.
So they're in for a ride, that's for sure. But they've been brilliant with them, you know, and the boys have... it's been a long time coming because obviously, you know, back in the UK, kids start school at 4 and the twins didn't start school until about 2 weeks before their 6th birthday. So they were ready to go. They're thriving on the structure now and the being with lots of friends. And, you know, by Friday, they're very tired, which is wonderful for us. It's just that the teachers are just trying to pick up on their little cues of when they're going to swap places.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, see, if I had twins, I'd probably teach them to do that. Was this parent-led or they've just thought, we can do this now, boys, we're 6?
They've realised this, that they can do it. It's just unfortunate that one twin does have, like, missing teeth and the other one doesn't. So they can't get away with it as much. But when they try and hide their teeth, and refuse to show their smile, we get summoned in to find out which one's which.
So let's talk about, so we've got Easter coming up. All right. What's on the cards for Easter? Or just give us an example of what you guys would do on a weekend or a long weekend, just for the listeners.
Okay, so Vinny is very fortunate. He is flying up on his own up to the Gold Coast tomorrow morning to go and visit my aunt and uncle who live up in Burley Head, so he is staying for Easter with them. And for us, Alex will be working all weekend, but Victoria is going to be very hot, so it's going to be beach time, barbecue, Easter egg hunt, just an outdoor lifestyle this weekend.
Yeah, it sounds good, doesn't it? I know Santa always pops up on the foreshore and everything like that. Probably the Easter Bunny will make an appearance, no doubt. So, guys, look, I just want to thank you for making time for this podcast. We are filming this, the middle of the day on a Tuesday. So really appreciate you guys making the time. And what a wonderful journey and everything. So, guys, a massive thanks to Alex and Jess for this podcast.
Thank you.
And we will catch you on the next one. Cheers again, Alex. Cheers again, Jess. Catches.
Thank you very much. Thank you.